Well, good morning. I too, I want to thank the veterans in our congregation today. I come from a long family of veterans. Many of my uncles fought for this country. My one uncle was a cook at the Battle of the Bulge. Another uncle was a tank sergeant, a tank commander. And another one was a airplane repairman. And so just a lot of good people have gone great lengths, great distances to keep this country safe. My dad made every effort to sign on and to serve somewhere, but he was 4'11 and flat-footed and was turned away at every approach. He even signed up to see if he could get into a submarine because he was short. And for whatever reason, they denied him there too. So, well, it's good to be with you today. I looked at Pastor Nick before we prayed earlier and I said, I think rigor mortis is beginning to set in. Moving is for the young. That's all I can say. So, but it's good to be here with you today. I would not want to be anywhere else at this moment. Well, we're going to continue our story with Joseph today. Today I want to speak to you about transformational fallout. Might be an odd term. I think many of us, when we think of the term fallout of the word, it doesn't give us that, well, that warm and cozy. We relate to it as something that's not good because of the atomic bomb and fallout and radioactive particles and you name it. And so, but I want to kind of turn that around today. I want to use it for good. We're going to join up with Joseph again today, and we're going to leave off where we pick up where we left off last week with Joseph's suggestions to Pharaoh. And I have to say, as I read over that again this week, I thought, man, Joseph is an administrative genius. I mean, I really do think that that was God's gift for him, besides the visions, but he just laid it all out for Pharaoh. I mean, it was no guesswork. I once worked for a company by the name of Salco, and the president of the company, it was a plumbing supply company, said, you know, as an owner, I don't have to know everything. All I need to do is to bring up people up alongside me who know what I don't to succeed. And that's exactly what's happening for Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt. Joseph is coming up alongside of them. And so we're going to pick up on Genesis chapter 41 and read verses 37 to 57. And after all that Joseph said, this is what took place. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on the throne, will have the rank higher than yours. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. And then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. And then he had Joseph ride in the chariot reserved for his second in command. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted, kneel down. So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all Egypt. And Pharaoh said to him, I am Pharaoh, but no one will lift a hand or foot in the entire land of Egypt without your approval. And then Pharaoh gave Joseph a new Egyptian name, Zaphnath-Paneah. He also gave him a wife whose name was Asenath. And she was the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. And so Joseph took charge of the entire land of Egypt. He was 30 years old when he began serving in the court of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And when Joseph left Pharaoh's presence, he inspected the entire land of Egypt. As he predicted, for 7 years the land produced bumper crops. During those years, Joseph gathered all the crops grown in Egypt and stored the grain from the surrounding fields in the cities. He piled up huge amounts of grains like sand in the seashore. Finally, he stopped keeping records because there was just too much to measure. During this time, before the first of the famine years, two sons were born to Joseph, his wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. Joseph named his older son Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my troubles and everyone in my father's family. Joseph named his second son Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my grief. At last, the 7 years of bumper crops throughout the land of Egypt came to an end. Then the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph predicted. The famine also struck all the surrounding countries, but throughout Egypt, there was plenty of food. Eventually, however, the famine spread throughout the land of Egypt as well. And when the people cried out to Pharaoh for food, he told them, go to Joseph and do whatever he tells you. So with severe famine everywhere, Joseph opened up the storehouses and distributed grain and to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout the land of Egypt. And people from all around came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe throughout the world. Let's pray for a moment. Father, we pray, O God, that as we look at your word today, O God, that you would speak to our hearts, God, that you would reveal yourself, more of yourself to us. And Lord, we joyfully accept your presence and your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have a time here where Joseph seems to turn a corner. Wouldn't it be great if we could let everyone know that there's a corner to be turned in their lives? When we look at Joseph's life, as we've been going through it, here's a guy who's very real. Like you and I, he's had his ups and downs. I would venture to say that his down times were a little deeper, a little longer than he had hoped. But wouldn't it be great if we could pass the message on, especially to the youth of our nation today, our teens, young marrieds, and anyone who struggles, that in the ups and downs of life, God is there, and he is able to make a change. And a change he does make, and he brings it about in Joseph's life. Now, what was coming as a change to Joseph, and so often comes to a change for us, has been intended and planned out in God's heart and mind all along. It was his intention all along, and he was going to bring it out and bring it about. But notice that what has to take place for is that down time. And I often find that in those times, God is very much present, and he is at work, and he is working in a way that he is going to bring a revelation to us, an explosion into our lives that's going to make us aware of him and see how his hand is able to reach into our lives and to pick us up when you and I often think there's no recovery from this. I can't get through this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And he does this for Joseph. He takes Joseph from a place of weakness to a place of strength. And just as he takes Joseph from a place of weakness, he too has taken us and continues to take us from places of weakness. For Joseph, it was slavery. It was betrayal. He was turned away, sold off, in bondage. For us, it's somewhat the same. Because of our human nature, we're a people of sin. We come. When we're born into this world, we're born into sin. We don't realize it. We come into the world, we start doing our thing and growing. But we are steeped, our natures are steeped in sin. It's a place of weakness. Because quite often sin likes to get a hold of each of us and grab us by the neck and dictate to our lives the way life should be. I want to take you to two portions of scripture in the New Testament that really kind of spells out for us our place of weakness in all this. And the first one is Ephesians 2:1. And Paul writes, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. And the second is in Colossians 2:13. Paul says you were dead because of your sins. And because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. And then God made you alive with Christ. And he forgave all your sins. Isn't that what we just got done singing about? See, God takes us from a place of weakness. If God would never enter, if God would never supply a savior, a way out, we would still be steeped in our sins. We would still be in a place of weakness. But God's intention from the very beginning is that that would not be the case. God is looking to raise us up, make us a people of great strength, a people who experience his presence, a people who experience real power, power that changes our circumstances, our conditions, our mindsets. How often do you get up and your thinking already is cycling in a negative fashion? Where is that coming from? Do you think that's a gift from God? I don't. It's our nature. And who locks onto that nature? Anything and everything that's evil. To bring us down, to make us a people who are less than what God has intended us for. Now, I don't know what you see in the mirror, what you think about what's in the mirror, but I'm going to tell you, God is raising, looking to raise that person up and to use that person because that person is of great worth, that person that's looking back at you. And God has come to do a great thing, and he's bringing real power to the table. And every time he does, the power that he brings into your life and my life is not just for us, but is for those around us. And that's where the fallout factor comes in. God's power, when it's taking place in our life, is evident to others. Real power cannot do anything else but be evident to others. Now, somebody may not come up to you and pat you on the back and say, "You know, I really see you got real power. God must be in your life." I don't think I've ever had that happen to me. So don't expect it. But if it happens to you, please tell me, because I'd really like to hear about it. Real power is evident to the world around us. They see it. It's tangible. It can happen. And it happened in Joseph's life. Look at verse 38 and 39 with me. Listen to what Pharaoh says, because man, if it's evident to anyone, it's evident to him. Especially that he's a leader of a nation and he cares for his people. In verse 38, so Pharaoh asked his officials, "Can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God?" It was obvious to him and his officials. That's why they signed on to this Hebrews instructions. And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly, no one else is as intelligent or as wise as you are." Clearly. You see? It's as real as the nose on Pharaoh's face that God is at work in this young man's life. That through this young man, this nation will not only survive, but flourish through this famine, through this hard time. You see, real power never has to say, "Hey, look at me. Look at me, check me out." But I'm going to tell you, that's where Joseph was before he left home, before he was sold off. What did he do with the dreams that God gave him? He put it in his family's face. "Check this out. One day you're going to bow down to me. One day I'm going to be over you." Instead, now, God takes Joseph to a place where he's transformed his life, that now these dreams, these visions, well, they're clearly from God, from his spirit, because of Joseph's God-like presence that he has. Pharaoh sees it, and he affirms it. He takes hold of it. He embraces it. And how does he do that? Well, he gives Joseph a new name, Zaphnath-Paneah, which means the one who furnishes the substance of the land. Listen to that. The one who furnishes the substance of the land. I don't know about you, but that sounds like God, doesn't it? Who supplies all our needs? Who has blessed us with everything that we have? Where do all good gifts come from but from the hand of God? And Pharaoh gives Joseph, I believe, another name for God, Zaphnath-Paneah. And then on top of that, he blesses Joseph by giving him a wife, Asenath. And her name means throne. It's Egyptian origin is means throne. And isn't that where Joseph's being placed? On a throne. Not as high as Pharaoh's, but right there. Because God has transformed this man. He's changed this arrogant teenager into a 30-year-old man with wisdom and maturity. And I want to tell you, regardless of what you think, God matures people. God grows people up. God grants wisdom. God gives discernment. God gives all the gifts that you and I so desperately need. And you want to talk about real power? Pharaoh goes one step further. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. And then, of course, he dressed him up, gave him gold. But that signet ring was very significant to me this week. Think of it this way. It's like Pharaoh taking his eye and plucking it out and giving it to Joseph so that whenever he goes throughout Egypt, when he needs eye recognition in the machine, make it in modern times, right? He's got Pharaoh's eye and doors open up. I've worked in supply houses where I've had to take my hand, and when I signed in on the morning, you punched a few numbers, but you had to put your hand on this pad, and it identified me because of my palm. Or my iPhone, which I thought was fun when I first got it, it identifies my thumb to open up for me. That's what Pharaoh was doing. Giving him his ring was giving him full authority. Full authority. Because, you see, God changed his life. And I want to tell you that when God changes our lives, great things happen. I don't know how you feel about yourself or what you think about yourself, but regardless of what you think and feel, I want to tell you, if God is engaged in your life, he's going to use you in some way. He will do great things. And from that comes great fallout of goodness and God's love and God's presence, something that others need and so desperately should have. And I want to say to you, Joseph is a man who over time has found favor. He's found favor with this man who leads a nation because he found favor with the God who created every nation under the sun. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Listen to what Solomon writes. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. And here's the punchline. Then you will find favor with both God and people. And you will earn a good reputation. And isn't that what Joseph has done? He's earned a good reputation with Pharaoh. He's earned a good reputation with the officials of this land because he has found favor first with God. In all those times of darkness and deep sadness and pain and sorrow, I believe that Joseph was holding on to his relationship with God, maybe with both hands, maybe sometimes just by the tips of his fingers, just barely holding on, but he was holding on. And God delivered him. And God blessed him. And he gave him a good reputation and favor with this man called Pharaoh. And then we find out that more blessings are there for Joseph. Just before the famine comes, God gives him two sons. And the first one is Manasseh. God has made me forget all my troubles and everyone in my father's family. Well, for a time, for them anyway. But, you know, I like yourself, I can remember, I've gone through things, but the sting of those trials and tribulations and anything I've ever suffered, gone, forgotten. God has helped Joseph to forget. I want to tell you, if any of you are sitting here today and you are holding on to pain and sorrows and aches, and maybe some of them date back a great distance, I want to tell you that God can remove them. God can remove them and make it so as if they never happened. Oh, you'll never forget them, but the sting will be removed. When I was a little kid, went under a car at a barbecue to get a ball, and somehow a wasp got in my shirt and bit me in the neck. I'll never forget that. It just killed me. Somebody made mud and slapped it on my neck, and the pain went away. I'll never forget it. But I don't walk around with that pain in my neck right now. It's just gone. It was removed. I want to tell you, that same kind of pain God can remove from your life. I don't care what it is. And I know that might be a bold statement, and you might have something to say to me after the service. But he can do it. He can do it. He is able. Not because I'm saying it, because it's who he is. It's what he does. And he did it for Joseph. And Joseph had reason to give thanks to the Lord. And I want to tell you that you and I sit here today as a people who have much reason to give thanks to God. And I want to tell you, Tuesday the 20th, you have an opportunity to come into this house and to give praise and thanks to God. Now, listen, I'm like you. I know it's going to be another night out, all right? And I'm sure you have plenty of other things to do on that Tuesday night. But has not God worked in your life? And this is not the Italian guilt thing in me coming out of you, right? I just want to reason with you. Has not God worked in your life? Has he not healed you? Has he not supplied? Has he not met your every need? Is he not the same God that will do what he did yesterday, he will do tomorrow as well? And so, isn't that reason enough to kind of come out another night and come into this house and worship? And I want to tell you what I love about Thanksgiving services. When you come here on a Sunday, you expect my mouth to be in gear, to bring a message. Thanksgiving service, that's not the case. Because when people come here, the message is spoken, but it's from your mouths. You bring the message. You bring the gospel. You bring hope. You bring it. And so I want to encourage you not to just show up, but bring somebody who would benefit, who would be blessed, who would experience some fallout in their life, some holy fallout, when they hear you testify about how God is working in your life, because they're expecting that from me. That's what you pay me for, right? But they hear from you. They hear from you. It comes out of your mouth. The person that is much like themselves, who goes and works every day of their lives and who struggles to pay bills and walks in their shoes, and they hear from you. And I confess to you that I was even trying to was going to make it easier this year for us, because you see, at the North Shore Church, we would have our Thanksgiving service the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And mark it in your calendar. That's what we're going to be doing next year. Because Sunday is a time when this house should be filled. And that is the perfect opportunity to bring people in. And that's what we should be doing. Not because we're supposed to, but because something is happening inside here and you want to share it, you see? You know, you don't do these things because simply the pastor got up and told you to do them, but you do them because something is happening inside of you. If it's not, let's talk after the service. But something is happening inside of you, and you want to share it. And so, you know, next year you won't have to be concerned about coming out an extra night because we're going to have it the Sunday before. And we're going to celebrate the Sunday before, and it'll be a much different service. But it will be a time when we give thanks to God because everyone has reason, whether we realize it or not, a reason to give thanks to God. Enough said. Before we go today, I want to tell you that that Joseph has been brought to a place of service. God has worked in his life, and what's going to come out of and from his life, the fallout, is going to be that he is going to be a servant to Pharaoh, a servant to an entire nation. And I know he has a place of authority, but with authority comes responsibility, and that responsibility is to be a servant. And Joseph is going to be that. And I want to tell you that we, as people of God, we have been given real power. We have been given his presence. We have been given his presence. And that presence is at work in our lives. And as his presence grows in us, more and more, it should become evident in our homes to our spouses, in our homes to our children, in our neighborhoods, in the places where we work, when we go shopping, in everywhere we go and everything we do, God's presence can be evident. And it's evident in the small things that many of us brush by. Attitude, looks, body language, but everything that comes from the heart and out to our extremities, people should be able to see Christ in some way, some evidence should be seen. And I want to ask you this morning, are we as a people living and breathing Christ? What does that mean? If you think it means that I'm going to start packing you up with knapsacks full of tracts, and I expect you to go stand on Montauk Highway and Sunrise Highway to give them out, you couldn't be more wrong. I will never ask you to do that because that's not what it's about. But this is what it's about. And I want to go back to a verse that we looked at last week in Romans 8:11. And this is very significant and powerful. The Spirit of God, same Spirit of God that was evident in Joseph's life that Pharaoh could see, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies. That's what God wants to do. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old or how young you are. God wants to fill your mortal bodies with his presence, give life to them. And by this same Spirit living within you, that's what God wants to do. It. Through that same Spirit, this is where Pharaoh says about Joseph, clearly, can we find anyone like this man who is filled with the Spirit of God? See, that's what it means to be living and breathing Christ. That's what it means to be a people who experience his presence and his blessings and have fallout in their life. An explosion takes place of new birth, new life. When you first accepted Christ, that's what you experienced. But it doesn't end there. There's more life to be had. As Pastor Art said in a sermon so many years ago, when you say things stick in your mind, you can have as much of Christ as you want. Just make the time. Live and breathe Christ. Make him a part of your daily movements, in your minds, in your hearts, reflecting on him. Think about his goodness. Every day I can get up and walk. I think about his goodness. When I get up in the morning and stretch my back out so I can function, I think of his goodness. I thank him for every step I can take, because maybe someday I will not have the ability to take that step. But right now I have. And I give thanks to him. Little things that we take for granted, give thanks to him. Praise him. Acknowledge him. He is the God who has transformed your existence. And I want to tell you, he's not done. He's not done. That's why we're together. That's why we're together. Because his work goes on and lives on in you and I. Let us give our full and undevoted attention to him. And watch what he will do. People will be able to see him in you. And we don't know how he will use that. We simply need to trust him. Trust that he will. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, as we take this moment, oh God, as we think about the week ahead of us, may we continue to remember that your presence is real and alive in us, that where we go, you go. Where we shop, you shop. Where we work, you work. Because your presence is in us. Oh God, thank you for transforming our lives. And we pray, oh Lord, that your goodness would come in and through our lives to others. That you would continually make a difference in our world by using us. May we be open to that. May we be willing to embrace you more and more, so that your goodness can fall out to many of the other people around us. Just as Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt was blessed, oh God, I pray, use us to bless others. May they come to know you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening.
This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full.
Praise the Lord. May God bless you and fill you with his Spirit. Follow his lead. Have fallout for God this week in Christ's name. Amen. Have a good week.